Okay, everybody, good afternoon. Just wave at me if you're feeling very warm. If you're feeling warm, wave. Yes, I'm feeling very hot as well. I want to thank you so much for being here this afternoon. This is always the workshop speaker's worst nightmare. When you have elective seminars and so many seminars and different workshops, there's always that slight doubt in the back of your mind, will anybody come? So thank you for being here this afternoon. It's great to see you. Welcome to our workshop on City Kids. You can probably tell that I'm not American. You can probably tell that I'm not English. I come from Northern Ireland. One of the weaknesses in coming from Northern Ireland is that the people from my country tend to speak very quickly. And when we get passionate about what we're talking about, the tendency is to get even quicker. Okay, so here's something that I want you to do for me. If I'm getting too fast and you can't understand what I'm saying, please just wave. Okay, the other good thing about coming from Ireland is we don't get offended very easily. Alright, so it's perfectly okay to say, Philip, would you please slow down? Let's just pray as we come together this afternoon. Let's pray that God will open our hearts. Let's pray that God will open our minds. That we'll be able to see new things, maybe. Learn new things. And just to have our eyes opened and our hearts enthused again as we think about the children. That's why we're here this afternoon. So let's pray. Father, thank you for bringing us together. Thank you that you're a good God. Thank you that you're a God who has made us with minds to think. Thank you that you have built us with hearts to feel and hearts to become passionate. And we thank you for this gathering just together this afternoon to explore something maybe slightly new, slightly different. But Father, we thank you most of all that you're a God who loves the children. And we thank you that you're a God who really loves the children all over the world and in every town and in every village, but also in our cities. And so, Father, we pray that you'll help us this afternoon to have hearts that are open, minds that are open to hear what you would want to say to us. Bless us, we pray, and help us. We need your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hands up if you live in a city. Okay, probably about half of us. I want you to imagine for the rest of the session that we have, especially if you're here from a city, I want you to imagine that that's your city. That what we're talking about this afternoon is your city. Why City Kids? What did you see when you watched the video? We've just watched a 2.5 minute video, which is a promotional video that we're using for the City Kids ministry. What came to your mind? What was the message in the video?
Kids not accepted. Kids not accepted.
Kids not accepted where?
In the city, in the church.
In the church.
Kids within arm's reach.
Yep.
A song that I heard, in the shadow of a steeple, someone's crying. Yep. Someone's dying.
Yep.
Disciples were youth in the children.
Yep.
Churches
for all people. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Churches for people that have money.
Yeah. The message really was a very, very simple and a very blunt message really in the video, wasn't it? Everybody was happy doing church on the inside while the children play outside. Maybe they weren't welcomed into the church. We don't know. That's not really the message. But I don't know what it's like in churches in your cities, but in our cities, where I'm from in Northern Ireland and right across Europe, many of our churches are happy to do church on the inside while the unreached, unchurched children are dying outside the church. That is the heartbeat of City Kids. The heartbeat of City Kids is that we take the gospel to children who are not coming into the church. That we as a missionary organization in CEF get to the church and challenge our churches about the needs of those children that are not coming inside. I'm not sure again what it's like in your culture, in your country, but many churches across Europe are just happy with the twos, the threes, the fours, the fives, the Christian children who come to church. So Sunday schools normally are quite small, and it's all focused on the inside. When there are thousands of children in our cities, we're still waiting to be reached. It's interesting hearing some of the things that we've heard already at conference, isn't it? About the importance of the church and the role of the local church in God's mission. And we were challenged, weren't we, in CEF about being part of that, even within our own local church, which is hugely important. So what we need to be doing in CEF is to get to these local churches and to say, here is a ministry that can help you to fulfill God's calling. Because God is calling the local church to go to these children to bring them the gospel. In an ideal world, if the church was reaching all of the unreached children all over the world, CEF may not even be in existence. Our job actually should be to work ourselves out of existence, to work ourselves out of a job. Because we want the local church to be mobilized to go to these children, the unreached children, the unchurched children, to be reached with the gospel. You probably picked up towards the end of the video that our ministry that is being developed called City Kids is really taken from this verse in Jonah, a well-known verse, Jonah chapter 1, verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. This was God's mandate to a runaway prophet many, many hundreds of years ago. And God said to Jonah, I want you to get up, and I want you to go to that great city, and I want you on my mission, I want you on gospel mission, I want you to preach to it. And we all know, and we're not going to talk about why Jonah didn't want to go and all of that. We're not getting into that today. But there's some things that are very simple when we think about this verse in Jonah chapter 1, verse 2. It's very simple and it's very clear from this verse that God loves city kids. He loves country kids and village kids, but he loves city kids. Nineveh was a great city. Nineveh was a very wicked city, was a very evil city. There were many things that went on in Nineveh that shaped the culture, if you like, in its day. You and I probably can identify with that. Think of some of the big cities across our world. Cities that you represent. The cities for me back at home are nowhere near as big as some of the cities that you come from. But I think of a place like London, which is not too far from me, where all of the world's children are. And everything that happens culturally normally will come from the city. And it spreads out from the city. That's where our culture, it's where everything kind of is born in the city. And that's what it was like in Nineveh. And that's why God says to Jonah, go and cry out against it. God loved those children in Nineveh. He wanted those children to hear the gospel. He wanted them to hear the message of salvation. He wanted those children to be rescued, to be saved. And so he asks Jonah to go on mission. But not only from this verse does God, we see that God loves those city kids, we also see that city kids are in great danger. We know that the city of Nineveh was going to be overthrown. We know from the rest of the book how they were facing this punishment, that God was going to overthrow them, God was going to destroy them. That included the children. There were many, many children in that city. In fact, some people would say maybe 120,000. Later in the book where it says, those who didn't know their right hand from their left, talks about the 120,000 people at the end of chapter 4. Many people believe, scholars believe, that figure actually represents children. Isn't it incredible? Because one man had a burden, one man had a heart, one man eventually got on mission with God, saw the need of the children in this great city, brings a life-changing message, God does the work, and at least perhaps 120,000 children are wonderfully saved. That, if you like, is the biblical basis of why we need to be thinking about the children in our cities. Because God loves them. God wants to transform their lives. He wants to give them a purpose for life and a purpose for living. He wants to rescue them from the great danger that they're in, and they are in great danger. And from this verse, City Kids was born. Let me tell you just in a little bit more detail about what City Kids actually is. City Kids is a new ministry initiative that has been developed in Europe. Now let me just tell you maybe at this point a little bit about myself. I should have done that maybe earlier on. My name's Philip. I've been working in CF for 16 years. I started off as a local worker in a local chapter, which is probably the phrase that you're familiar with. I was the Assistant National Director in Ireland, and then for 5 years I led the work as National Director in Ireland. And then God has called us just over a year ago to help other nations. God has given us a great burden, my wife and myself, to help the nations, to be part of declaring God's glory to the nations. So we're now working in international ministries, and our main role in international ministries is leadership and ministry development. This is a European initiative that has been developed in Europe, but it doesn't necessarily mean to say that's where it has to end. I'm not saying that it has to go across the world, God alone knows. But in Europe, we recognized a number of years ago that there was a real need to be doing more to reach the children in our cities. To be reaching children that have never been reached before. I want to share just a little bit of my heart with you this afternoon. I wonder when we reach children in our ministries, I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up, but I really want you to think carefully about this, not just at conference, but when you go home, when you get back into your ministry, whatever sphere, whatever aspect of ministry you're involved in, when in CEF we are reaching children with the gospel, and we're going to hear probably more about that, aren't we, tomorrow night? Year after year, we have these amazing figures of children that are being reached with the gospel, don't we? And we praise God for that, and we'll be rejoicing in that tomorrow night. But here's the thing that has really bothered me recently. Here's the thing that God has really been stirring my heart and disturbing my heart about. How many of those children that we reach year after year after year have heard the gospel year after year after year after year? I would say a very high percentage. Now, what was the Apostle Paul's lifelong ambition? To bring the gospel to people who had never heard. His lifelong ambition was to spread. Why? Because he didn't want to build on anybody else's foundation. And so when we think about our nations, when we think about every child, we need to be serious about that. When we think about every nation, we need to stop thinking about nations as, I'm from Northern Ireland, here's my flag, I'm from America, here's my flag. The Bible does not talk about nations in that way. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation. Isn't that what the Bible says? The Joshua Project is a very interesting organization. They do a lot of research. And research from the Joshua Project would lead us to believe that there are still around 6,500 people groups in our world waiting to hear about Jesus. And those children are in our cities. They're in our towns as well. They're in our villages. And so we thought in Europe we need to be doing more to reach boys and girls in the city. So we started to think and we started to pray and we started to plan, and God gave us this burden for City Kids. It's not a project as such. In a way, sometimes in CEF we have particular projects that maybe last for a week and then we do them again next year, like Christmas Across or Good News Across. This is actually going to be an ongoing ministry. Kind of like the same as 5 Day Clubs, Good News Clubs, CEF ministry. This is something that will keep going on and on. So it's not like a one-off project as such. It's something that we will continue to do year after year after year so that we can reach more children in the city with the gospel. And that is the focus of City Kids, and I want to make that absolutely clear. The focus of City Kids is to bring the gospel to children in our cities who have still not heard. I'm going to say some things later on about some of the different ideas and the different kind of, if you like, methodologies and the different types of outreach that we're planning to do with City Kids. But I want to say this first and foremost, that whatever those things are, those are just bridges. Those are bridges that we need to build in CEF. Those are bridges that we need to build in our churches. We need to build bridges to get the gospel across. How many times in our cities, I've been speaking to some of you already, how many times in our cities do we find when we run particular types of ministries in our churches or in CF, that maybe the numbers aren't so good. We need to think creatively, we need to think slightly differently, but we focus on the message and we focus on the Bible. And so the focus of City Kids is to bring the gospel to children in maybe creative ways and ways that we haven't done before. That's the heartbeat of City Kids. We officially launched our ministry initiative called City Kids at our European conference just last May. And so there's been lots of planning and lots of preparation. So we're kind of just really getting into it as we speak. And it's been really, really exciting. I'm going to share later on with you just some of the things that have been happening already. Some of those ministry initiatives have already begun. You can imagine across Europe, we've got 46 countries. There are many, many languages across our region in Europe. And so there's a lot of work that needs to be done in all of our countries by our people when it comes to translation, when it comes to all the materials, the promotional materials, the teaching materials. All of those resources have to be translated, not just into one language, but many, many, many languages. So some people are further ahead with that. Some people are still working on it. So we're all at different parts along the City Kids journey. But it's been so exciting to see in some countries already what God has been doing even over the past number of weeks. It will be ongoing. So it's not going to stop at the end of 2017. Next year, 3 years' time here, you'll hear me talking about it again. 6 years' time, God willing, you'll hear me talking about it again. This is something that we just want to keep going with year after year after year to focus on bringing the gospel to City Kids. Why City Kids? Well, we've already looked at Jonah 1, verse 2, when God challenges us to go to the great cities. And maybe God's already beginning to stir your heart and saying, hey, it's time that you went to the great city. Like Jonah heard that call all those years ago, maybe God will stir your heart this afternoon and say, there's more that you need to be doing. There's more that you can be doing to reach the children in your city. Here's some very, very practical reasons as well, though, why we should be thinking about specifically reaching children in the city. Now, before we get into this any further, let me say something just to clarify and to take this one off the table. What we're not saying is that children in our cities are more spiritually needy than children in towns and villages. Right across Europe, we still are reaching children in towns and villages. But we recognize that we're not doing very much to reach the children in our cities. So we're not dropping all of the other things and saying, we don't care about those children, we're just going to reach these children. All of the other stuff is still happening. All those other ministries are still going on. But we're trying to get our gaze, we're trying to get our attention, our focus, specifically on the children that live in our cities. Cities are growing rapidly. We had someone speaking to Christian leaders in our country about a year ago. And he said that if any missionary organization were putting their time and their energy and their efforts into rural type ministry, that we're almost taking our eye off the ball. Now let me kind of qualify what he was trying to say. If you and I knew that Jesus was going to return at the end, let's say of 2018, how would that change the type of ministry that we do at the moment? It would probably change it in quite dramatic ways. And we need to think carefully about this, because cities are where the highest density of children are living. It's estimated that 73% of the world's children live in cities. You think of some of the big cities in your country. And think about how many children are in that city. But also think about how many children are in that city from all around the world. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
No longer in Ireland are we reaching just Irish children. Just been speaking to two friends at the front here who were talking about the children in Houston coming from Hispanics and Africans. In Dublin, in the Republic of Ireland, most of the TCE courses that we do are with African churches, Indian churches, and Filipino churches. Amazing. We're living in very, very different days, people. Very different days. Exciting times, because God is bringing the nations to you. No longer do you have to go on a missions trip to reach African children in Africa. I can reach them in Belfast. I could go an hour down the road to Dublin and work with African churches. It's incredible what God is doing. These are days of unprecedented opportunity to bring the gospel to the nations in our own cities. It's unbelievable. That brings challenges, of course, as well. But if 73% of the world's children or thereabouts are living in our cities, shouldn't we be thinking about that? If we have limited people, if we have limited finances, limited workers, limited resources, should we not strategically say, hey, most of the children are living in the city, I'm going to go there. With all the workers, all the volunteers, all the finances, my local committee, we're going to focus on the city because that's where the highest majority of the children are living. And you don't ignore the others. But we need to get our eyes not just focused here, but over here as well. 73%, incredible. That's the world that we're living in. It's urbanization, it's globalization. Urbanization means that many families are moving from rural parts into the cities, mainly looking for work. Globalization, people are coming from all over the world into our countries. Well, they are at the moment. Depending on what countries we live in, that may change in future years. It's the same in the United Kingdom as well. I know it's maybe similar here in the States also. But there are many, many opportunities to bring the gospel now to children in cities from all over the world. We have got to get our eyes on the children in the cities because that's where most of them are. And if we're serious about every child, then we need to get our eyes on the cities. And we need to target strategically the cities. Think about Paul. Where did Paul begin most of his missionary journeys? This is not a difficult question. We're thinking about city kids, so therefore the answer is the cities. Corinth. You know the big cities? Many of his major evangelistic crusades, they all started in the cities. Paul knew that that's where the culture was. He knew that that's where the people were. He knew that that would spread out, and so it did. He brought the gospel to the city, and then from the city, it trickled out from the cities. Wouldn't it be great if the same thing happened today with us in CEF? Wouldn't it be wonderful to see our cities being turned upside down for Christ? And the gospel then spreading out from those cities and the culture beginning to change? Gospel culture? It would be phenomenal. It would be absolutely amazing. The Great Commission, of course, tells us to go into all the world, to make disciples of all nations. So we have that Great Commission that Jesus himself has given, and we recognized in Europe that quite simply that we weren't really reaching significant numbers of children in the cities, and there was much more that we needed to be doing in the cities, and that's why City Kids was developed. Anybody have any comments or any questions at this stage? Sometimes I leave this to the end and then we end up running out of time. Anybody want to say anything at this stage just before we jump on and look at some of the challenges? Anything that is really...
I just can't wait to hear how you're doing this.
Okay. That sounds...
sitting on the edge of the seat.
Yep.
Something different than the people who live in cities and are doing many, many, many business clubs in cities?
It is slightly different. Slightly different. It doesn't have to be. So I'm going to sit on the fence slightly with that one. I'll explain that one maybe when we get into the sort of the more practical parts of it as to what it actually looks like. Let's move on quickly because you're all excited to hear some of the challenges. We're working with children in our cities those children have very little knowledge about God. And I'm not going to go into that in a lot of detail. Why? Because Ken Ham explained it very adequately last night, did he not? The worldview, where we start, foundational truths and all of that. So the ministry in our cities probably is going to look very different from what it might look like in other places. We're going to have to adapt because the children are not maybe the same as they may be in other parts of your country or my country. There's no doubt that city kids are very, very different in terms of their knowledge of God. As we know, we've mentioned already, many, many children in our cities from different social backgrounds, different ethnic backgrounds, different religious backgrounds. That brings challenges, doesn't it? Because it can't be really one size that fits all. And that's a key thing that I want you to get when you think about City Kids. City Kids can be as flexible as you need it to be. That's why I absolutely love it. Because you can take City Kids and do whatever you like with it. You can tailor it to the types of children that need to be reached. You can tailor it to the types of churches that you're going to be working with. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on. some of the other challenges, don't we have many other programs in our cities that are competing for those children?
Yes.
But many of them are not gospel centered. And so they're getting taken care of in all sorts of other ways, which is fantastic. But that's going to be one of the challenges that we face. We're going to be another group of people trying to do something else for those children in our cities while somebody else tries to do something, somebody else is trying to do something. But our focus is what? Making disciples. That's our focus. And that's the focus of City Kids. So it's not about feeding. And it's not about clothing. And it's not saying that those things are not important. They are. But we're going to do what we're good at. We're going to make disciples by God's grace and His help. That's what City Kids is all about. Does it mean that we can work with other organizations who are doing those things? Yes, we can. And again, this is what City Kids is very much geared towards. It's geared towards partnerships. How do we go about City Kids? I should say also, just at this stage, what I'm going to do, some people were asking about handouts. One of the great difficulties is, coming from Ireland, we were told you've got to print your own handouts, so I didn't know whether to print 5 handouts for the 5 people that were going to be here, or whether to print 105 for the 105. So what I'm going to do is, I'll leave a folder here. If you want this on a PDF, you just write your name and your email address, and whenever I get back home, I will send you everything that you need to know. You'll also be able to get my email address if you want to know more and to follow up and to have other conversations. You want me to come to your country and talk more about it, I'm very happy to do that. That's part of the role that God has called us to, the ministry development part. So we're here to help you in whatever way we can. So the file is there, you can sign up afterwards. So how do we go about doing it? Through existing CEF ministries, but also through new innovative ministry methods. City Kids is a ministry. City Kids, if I could explain it this way, City Kids is just like the umbrella. Okay, it's just the name. It's a name that you can use to help churches to focus on the fact that there are kids in their city that need to hear the gospel, that need to be taught about the Lord Jesus. So City Kids is the umbrella. When it comes to actually what you do in ministry-wise, when it comes to City Kids, you can do whatever you like. You could go to a local church and you could present the City Kids project, and really what you're doing is you're just challenging those people to think about reaching the children in their neighbourhood, in their city. When you begin to think about how we're planning that, we're not saying to a church in London, you need to reach 500,000 children in London, or however many children there are in London. It's every church in their local neighbourhood doing something to reach the children in their neighbourhood. And then another church over there, they take responsibility for the children in their neighbourhood. Sometimes that can take a bit of coordination and getting churches to talk to each other, and that can be a challenge sometimes as well, because sometimes they can be very, very parochial and don't get into my patch and don't take children from my area. But we can help them with that. So it can be whatever you want it to be. City Kids can be just Good News Club, regular Good News Club ministry. So let's say a church comes along and there's primary schools, elementary schools, that you can go into and have after-school clubs in. You could say, as part of the City Kids ministry, we have got now 25 after-school Good News Clubs. Do you understand what I'm saying? It could be just 5-day clubs. Your city might have just a campaign that's similar to almost a Good News Across. It's a similar type thing. For us in Europe, we're using this where churches can get part of the City Kids and churches can get involved in 5-day clubs in their area. So it can be existing CEF ministry. But here's the thing, and this is what makes it different from anything else that we've got, I think, and certainly that I know of in CEF circles. Remember we said at the start that we need to build a bridge to get the gospel across? I don't know about you, but sometimes the 5-day clubs and the CYIA weeks that I'm involved in at home, I did something very recently, actually, just 2 years ago, during CYIA, we extended the time in some of our 5-day clubs. So we ran the same program. We found that a lot of boys from around age 8, 9, 10, 11, they tended not to come to 5-day clubs. They look at the 5-day clubs and they think they're for girls. So the following year we ran the same type of 5-day club program, but we extended the club for 1 hour. So instead of a 1-hour club, we had a 2-hour club. What did we do in the other R? If I can get my American right here, we did soccer coaching.
Soccer's the big thing, yeah.
Unbelievable the change. The previous year, we had about 12 girls at the club. When we introduced and promoted the five-day club with this added part in, I think there were around 25 children came. And we had an 8-year-old, 9-year-old, we had boys in the club for the first time in Roman Catholic areas also. Building bridges, same program, but we just mixed the soccer coaching in through the club. We need to think creatively how we can attract children to come to our ministries. When we think about it, how much really has changed in one sense over the last 50 years? And that's not the message. What we're talking here is about the ministry and the methodology. I'm going to come to the Bible. I want to look at this later on just in a bit of detail. But let me tell you some of the ways, some of the options that churches now in Europe have as part of City Kids Ministries. If they want to, they can have their open air clubs over 3 days or 5 days. They could have their holiday Bible clubs or VBS clubs with various themes. Here's where it maybe starts to get slightly different. They can have Lego clubs. Lego building blocks. I'm not sure what Lego kind of gets around the world, doesn't it? It has been unbelievable to see what has happened through some of these Lego clubs. Germany have pioneered this. I was speaking to a girl in Wales recently who could not get children to come to any clubs. The churches could not get children to come in to their children's meeting. They started running Lego clubs. They had 30 or 40 children come to their clubs. So it's like a VBS, but they start building, and they build a Lego city. It's built around the theme of City Kids. I'll show you a picture of it later on. That has been so, so successful. Sports type clubs. I mentioned earlier on about building the soccer coaching into the 5-day clubs or day camps where you maybe focus on a particular activity or sport and you build in your gospel program into that day long program. Maybe a music clubs or music day camps, seasonal clubs, party clubs, festivals. Another thing that's working very well in different parts of your homework clubs, where children are maybe getting dropped off and churches then can actually have a facility in the afternoon where after school the children are actually taken to the church and the church look after the children until the parents return from work. They get maybe their a meal or they maybe get something to eat at the church and the church will help them with the homework, but then they teach the program. Good news clubs also with various types of things. So you can be as creative as what you want. These are some of the clubs and ideas that we have started to look at. In Europe, but you could come up with your own ideas. It can be anything. The message is the same, the methodology is slightly different and can be slightly different, and that's the beauty of it. The church wants to do a 5-day club, super. They want to do a Lego club, super. You've got options, you've got a menu, and that's what excites me about City Kids. One of the other key things is not just the flexibility in terms of the type of ministry that we can do through City Kids. It's very much based on partnership. So the idea is not that you as a CHF worker in that city, that you start running 50 Lego clubs all over the city. That's not the idea, otherwise you're going to be burnt out and you'll need to go to Sean's seminar again. That's not the idea. The idea is that we go to the church, that we challenge the church, that we talk to the church about the unreached children in their neighbourhoods, and we need to do a lot more of this. We need to be challenging the local churches and pastors. That's why I love ministries like Good News Across America. We had another ministry in Europe a number of years ago called Church to Children. Anything that brings us into partnership with churches is good. Why? Why do you think we're pushing so much for this to be partnership with the local church? Can you think of why that would be a good idea? Perfect. That's what our president just said, isn't it? We need to be doing more for the children. Who better to do more for the children than the church? Why? Because they're there. They're there. Week in, week out, there are good churches in our cities. We can't always be there. And it's the church's job as well to make disciples. So we should be, you know, the three E's in CEF, the evangelism, the edification. What's the last one?
Establishing.
I'm not sure where we are with that. I don't know about you, but in Ireland, we all struggle with that. So difficult to find children in our five-day clubs who weren't church-attending children. It was very difficult to get them channeled into the church, especially in Roman Catholic areas. But when we partner with local churches and they invite them in for Lego clubs, there's already a bridge being built into that local church. That's still not going to be easy. I'm not saying that every child will just walk in and suddenly start to kind of start attending the church. But I'm going to show you a slide in just a few minutes that will hopefully encourage you. So discipleship is a good reason for us to partner with the local church so that they can help us to disciple those children and other like-minded organizations. So there may be organizations in your city that are feeding the children. You might come along and say, we're going to do a literature project. We want to take gospel literature. Here's an organization that are handing out shoeboxes, or they're feeding the children in a feeding program. So you go along and you have conversation and you try to get into partnership with that organization and say, can we also bring gospel literature as you're giving out the meals to the children? Can we also work alongside you and give out gospel literature? So it's that idea of partnership. We don't get into the feeding programs, but we should be looking at maybe others who are doing it, who are gospel minded. I'm not saying that we just walk into every partnership. That's something that we need to be careful about.
Yeah.
But if there are good people that we can work with, who love the gospel, but who are doing something slightly different from us, then we can come with our bit and we can help them and we can work together. Right, so that is a key element of City Kids. It's not the worker necessarily doing it. We're looking for partnerships with local churches and other organizations. Why? Because that spreads the ministry, doesn't it? It expands the ministry in a city if we have a number of churches that are involved in a particular city in the ministry. Here's some of the promotional material that we have developed to help just to promote. So for instance, this would be a brochure that our workers would take to a local pastor. So this is really where it begins. It begins with that visit to the pastor. It begins with the worker just sharing their vision for the unreached children, the unchurched children. Our vision, our passion to share the gospel with those children, but also then just challenging the church again to get involved. You can see down at the bottom here, it says serving the church by providing training and tools to fully equip God's people to communicate God's word to an urban generation. So the idea is, let's do this together. The idea is that we're going to the church saying, we have experience in reaching children, we have got good materials developed, we can train you how to do it, now let's work together to reach these children. That's really where we want to try and get to. Something that we need to be praying for. We've heard different people this over the past number of days talking about, I don't know, again, the churches sometimes in our city, they're not always wide awake when it comes to gospel ministry. And that's something that we need to be aware of. We need to be praying about that, that God would help us to pray for those churches to catch the vision. My motto in life is not to worry about the 99 that won't do it, work with the one that will. Because if Jesus is coming back, well then let's do what we can, while we can, when we can. And if we can only work with one church, well that's better than working with no churches. So don't get discouraged about the 30 pastors that we go and visit who don't want to work with us. Just keep knocking the doors. God will take care of it. We have our plans, we have our ideas, but we've got to just walk where God wants us to walk and go through the doors that He opens for us in terms of these partnerships with churches. This is the series of Bible lessons that have been developed. If you visit the CF Europe literature stand just across the way, you'll see some of these. Looks like this. It's called The Big Picture. I don't have time just at the moment to go through all the lessons in that. You can have a look at that on the literature stand. But it's interesting that it says on the front, foundational truths for today's children. Where did you hear that last being talked about, foundational truths? So I was sitting last night tremendously encouraged, not because we've got all the answers, but maybe just because we're beginning to think a little bit more carefully about what we're doing. And that was a real encouragement to me. So you can have a look at that. I'll leave it up at the front here afterwards. You can have a look through those lessons. You can have a look at all the artwork in there.
Question.
Yeah, sure.
They have the visuals, but they don't have the teacher got it.
Yep, I just put the picture because I didn't have a picture for the PowerPoint. So the text will come with the flashcard book.
How come we get them?
Yeah, the ones down there, she's saying, they said they didn't have the text.
Okay, they maybe don't. At the booth, at the stand. Maybe they don't have them there, but they are available. Actually, Revival Movement print these flashcard books, so they are available. The texts are available. I can check that for you, but they always will come with the text. They maybe just don't have any with them.
So those are
ordinarily, if you were buying those would ordinarily come with either a written text, but quite often they'll come with the CD on the back that you just pop it into your computer and then print off your text from the CD. All right. That's what the lesson text, that's what the teacher's guide would look like. And again, there's a lot of detail, there's a lot of work has gone into that in terms of the layout of all of that. It's pretty familiar to us in CEF. It looks pretty much the same as what a lot of our guidebooks will look like. This is another one of a gospel booklet that goes alongside. So the church can also do a literature outreach with this little booklet called Things You Need to Know. You've probably heard Bogdan, I'm sure, talking about that at a time in the past. And that was really developed to help us with City Kids Ministry as well. So these are some of the tools that the churches would be using. Yep.
How does that foundational series vary from the other foundational series that we have? Is it more tailored for City Kids?
It is, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it is. It's different. It's not actually on our cycle as such. It was just a specific set of lessons. Some of you will know the name Jennifer Heyer, who has written a lot of our materials for us over the years. Jennifer actually wrote the lessons for us, specifically designed for that City Kid. So hopefully we're kind of getting it to the right level rather than kind of just jumping in what we heard last night, that we're starting with the right foundations. Yep.
If this is just like an umbrella and we're getting really the churches to do the work and to reach in their communities, are we going to be tracking statistics on these clubs, the Lego clubs, the soccer clubs, the other?
That's a good question. I guess you could, if the church was open to that. This is being recorded, so this might be my last time that I see you. But I'm going to say something, maybe this is slightly controversial, I hope it won't be, but I hope you see my heart in the middle of all of this. I wouldn't worry if you can't track it.
I didn't hear the question.
Should we track the numbers? How do we record the numbers of children who would attend, say, a church Lego event or a Lego type club? If you get that and you want to include it in your stat form, great. If you can get it, super. They'll be working with you. Obviously, you'll go. You may end up. I'm going to come to that in a second. You may end up being at the church and doing training with the church as well. So you'll have a very close partnership. So you can actually mention that at the time. You could design your own form if you wanted to give that to the church to fill it in, or to email you the figures back. So entirely, I would say entirely up to you. What I'm saying is, if a local church asked me to come and to do a Lego event and they wanted to partner with CEF, and I went in and did some of the training modules that I'm going to show you in a second, and we got the material and we take the material and we start teaching children, I probably would try and maybe call in to visit. I might try and phone to see how it went. But if there were 500 children there and I didn't know that, it wouldn't bother me in the slightest because I don't need to know. He knows.
That's right, exactly.
He knows.
Exactly.
Well, there's a contract that CEF has the church to sign in order to work with the kids. Mm-hmm. So it would have to be, there would have to be some flexibility to do that particular part because it's there. And usually we've had a situation where the church didn't sign. And they said, well, that's not what we believe exactly. And so you get into some controversial theology that way. So because, again, the Catholic Church is one. But I would say work with it as long as you can. And when that comes up, then deal with it.
Yeah, if you can get it because of your partnership with the church the way that you would ordinarily in any other type of ministry, great. You know, that you should aim for that. I guess it's good to have it.
Yes.
What I'm saying is if I didn't get it or the church said, hey, you know, thank you, you've trained me, now we're good to go, we don't need you anymore, I would say praise God on the brand for you, trust it goes well.
Yeah.
I wouldn't not partner with them because they didn't want to kind of give me the figures.
Yeah, it's, say, always, yeah, it's yeah. always their rejection rather than our rejection.
If you can get it, great. If you can't, for me, I don't worry too much. Okay, anybody? Yeah, one more.
축구 클럽이든지 네이버 클럽이든지 간에 그 프로그램이 두 개가 되지 않습니까? 복음을 전하면 그래서 축구 클럽을 계속 하면서 복음을 전한다면은 축구 그룹도 운영해야 되고 복음도 운영해야 되지 않느냐?
So why are handling your soccer club and sharing the gospel, like the Christ club, like how can you focus on both?
한국에서는 그런 프로그램을 yeah. 비슷한 것을 하게 되면 축구 그룹만 남게 되고 나중에 복음을 전하기 어려워진다고.
Like especially in Korea, it's kind of hard to make it both way. Like while sharing, while you're doing the sharing of gospel, mm-hmm. hard to make the soccer club in there. You can use it both ways. In Korea, there's only soccer club in there, not the basketball. Yeah. So how do you deal with this situation?
I guess, yeah, one of the things that I guess we're all familiar with in CF is the phrase using the whole program. As teachers, we're always taught to use the full program. So if it's in a good news club, we're mixing things up in our program, our hour-long program, so we use the whole program. So if it's a missionary lesson we're teaching, we might say an evangelistic course or whatever, so that we're basically teaching all the children that are in our clubs. When it comes to trying to bring two things together, I guess what I said earlier on about the kind of the setup of City Kids, it needs to be flexible for your country, for your culture. And it's a good point because not every culture will be able to do that. The way that we would probably be doing that in Europe would be we would, some countries run the hour-long program first, maybe in the open air, let's say in a five-day club. And then as soon as the hour-long program is finished, they then will go into the activity with the children. So you can do it that way, or you could have your activity first and then go into your Bible program after. I can only share a little bit from my experience when it comes to five-day clubs in Northern Ireland, in Roman Catholic areas. We have to keep the program moving so quickly. We're living in a kind of country now where the children, as soon as anything comes to do with the Bible, they're boom, they're away, they're gone. So we might have to do the Bible lesson for 10 minutes, 15, 12 minutes max, because if we do anything longer than that, they're gone. And after that, we have to maybe jump into some kind of activity to kind of keep their attention, let off steam. And then we go back onto the mat, we maybe do the memory verse then, and then we have to go back to something else, because if we don't mix it up, they're gone. And city children are quite like that. They can be very short attention span children.
Yes.
We use like a preschool method.
Yeah.
Because of the short attention span. Yeah. We went through little kids training and they tell you teach 3 minutes, get exactly. up and do something and then come back and it's...
Exactly. So you could add it on all at the start or you could add it on all at the end, or if it works to intersperse it,
yeah.
that's also, you can work it that way too. Yeah.
If this is just an umbrella, do we need to have the churches who agree to go reach the kids to sign workers' compliance agreements, do background checks? And do they have the option of just bringing in their own, using their Sunday school material or something else, and doing their own program once we get them excited to reach the kids? Or, you know, how loose and how tight is that really?
Yeah, I guess probably, forgive me for this one, probably every country will have their own kind of set policies and procedures when it comes to internal kind of compliance and kind of contract forms. We don't have any of that in Ireland at all. So forgive me for not being able to give maybe a specific answer in that. I guess that would just be, again, whatever you normally would do. I think you would probably normally just do the same if you can. In terms of the church using their own material, I don't see a problem with that at all. It depends if we were going in to do training, because specifically we would probably be training on this material. So if they were using a different type of material, that might make it a little bit more awkward. But yeah, you can kind of just pick and choose and work it whatever way you want, really. But I think the key thing is, I mean, if I was to go in and promote about the needs of the kids in the city, and the church said, hey, we see this, and you know what, we're going to take care of this. Thanks for all the material that you have, and we appreciate the offer to train, but actually we're just going to go and do something ourselves. Great.
You're still there.
Great. You've shared the vision, God has spoken to them, has stirred their heart, and they're now going out to reach children outside the church.
Yes.
That's the key, isn't it?
That's the key. Book
exactly. Hopefully I'll get to this in a moment or two to show you one, show you the training curriculum that we have developed as well. Yeah.
So I don't know what it is,
sure. I'll show you a picture and I'll try and explain just as we go along. Okay, we'll move on for now because we've just, I think, got about 10 minutes left. So this is our City Kids Seminars. And what do we again, I can't go through every single dot here because we don't have time to do that today. But there are different subjects in each of these training seminars. The great thing about the seminars, the one word I think that I've tried to help you to see today is flexibility. And that's what City Kids gives you. And it gives you it with the City Kids training seminars as well. So if a church gets on board and they want to do a particular, let's say they're going to do a Lego club, just for example. In these City Kids seminars that we have developed, depending on the person in the church and their role within the ministry, will depend on what training they need to get. Right, so we don't have to go in and do a 30-hour TCE course with the lady who's just pouring the juice.
Right.
So what we've got here is curriculum. All right, that's what I love about this. So when we talk about City Kids basics, let's say the first dot there, the basics number one, that's basic foundations, understanding the gospel message, gospel tools, activities and games. When it comes to basics two, we're looking again at basic foundations, that's the biblical basis, things like that. Getting to know your city, helping them to kind of strategically target children in their city, counseling a child for salvation, and the kids a program overview. Then we come to the impact lessons, that's just what we call our Bible lessons. Obviously, if there's someone in the church and they're going to be the Bible teacher for that week, they have to be at the impact lessons. But the ladies who are going to serve the juice and biscuits and the refreshments, they're not going to have to go to the impact Bible lessons. So all of these are broken down into short modules, so you can have the right people in the right place being trained on the right thing at the right time. And that's what I love about the modules, the fact that, again, that it gives the church that flexibility. Maybe just to touch briefly on the bottom two dots there, City Kids events. Those are specific modules that are actually written. So let's say a church comes to you, you've done your promotional visit, and they say, hey, I would love to do a Lego club, that sounds fantastic. How do you do that? Well, we'll set up some training nights, and you work through, and you invite the right people to come to the right modules. But there's actually a module on how to run a Lego club. So you actually will have a class, probably one, maybe two classes, but at least one 40-minute class where you will stand in front of the church and explain to them, this is how you do it, this is how you do it. So those are still being, some of those events are still being written at the moment as we speak, so we don't even have all of these available just yet. I think the Lego one is almost complete, so that'll be a really popular one, and there are a few of those available, so you can train specifically to what the church asks you to do. Alright. The credentials then at the end, again it's a pick and mix. So things there, we have classes there on the Muslim child, the Hindu child, the Roman Catholic child, the Orthodox child, the postmodern child, the socially vulnerable child, helps for working with special needs children, basic needs of the child, the preschooler, which is 3 to 6, the school age child, 7 to 11, and the young teen, 12 to 15. So there's two classes on each of those. So depending, you might be working in an area that's maybe a mixture of Muslim children and Roman Catholic children, so you might want to cover both of those, you don't need to do the rest. So again, you've got that a la carte, you've got that menu that you can pick and choose and do whatever you need to do so that the church gets the right training. All right. So it's a good module system. It's something I want to touch on. I don't have too much time now just to kind of, as we wrap up here. But when we think about City Kids ministry, and incidentally, this actually applies to any ministry. I don't know about you, evangelism's hard, isn't it? In fact, the Bible actually tells us that evangelism is impossible, because in 2 Corinthians we read that the God of this world has blinded their eyes.
Yes.
And you know what? Just like we heard last night, breaking news, there's not a thing that you and I can do about that. And that's a wonderful thing. Opening blind eyes to receive the Lord, to receive that message of salvation, it's not our job to do that. Now, I don't know about you, but that's the single greatest truth that keeps me in the ministry. Because if it was about Philip Arendt, I would have quit 10 years ago. Imagine that the preaching of the gospel was down to you and me. Our job, preach Christ. His job, he opens blind eyes.
Amen.
And the sooner we grab that, the freedom it brings and the joy that it brings in our ministry, it's a wonderful thing. So when we think about gospel work in 2 Corinthians 4, 1-6, we'll not have time to look at those verses. You can look at this. But there needs to be gospel integrity. And what we're really saying is faithfulness to the Word of God. That's who we are. That's what City Kids is. It's what any ministry should be. And that's something I think in CEF we're pretty good at, yes? We all believe that we should be preaching and teaching the Bible and teaching the gospel. So let me move on to another circle. This one's gospel creativity. Because what did Paul say? By all means reaching some. And Paul's ministry differed and varied, did it not? Depending on who he was teaching, who he was preaching to. He was creative in how he brought that message to the people, depending on who it was that he was bringing the message to. And this is something I think that we need to learn in CEF. We're very strong with our gospel integrity, but maybe we need to open our minds to the gospel creativity, to find ways that we can build bridges to get the gospel to as many children as possible. We don't want to bore them and have them switched off. We want to attract them. We want them to come to our clubs. So we need to find ways, creative ways that we can do that, that are culturally relevant in the day and age that we're living, but not compromising on the gospel integrity. And those two things sit together very easily and very comfortably. And then another one that we're very good at in CEF, God's sovereignty in evangelism. We preach Christ. We try to do that in a way that's creative to reach as many children as we can, and then we trust God to do the work. We preach Christ, he opens the blind eyes. That's a wonderfully liberating thing. When we actually understand that it's God that does the saving, and you know what? I don't even need to know about that either. Because I'm not a super CEF worker, so it doesn't really bother me about how many children that I fill in on my staff form or council. Because that's not my role. That's not my job. That's his job. That's his work. All I'm asked to do is just be faithful. Just go and speak the message. Speak it, spread it, speak it, spread it, speak it, spread it. That's my job. And here's where we want our ministries to be. Now, I'm not saying that's where we are. This is where I think we need to aim to get to. We want to be right in the middle, don't we? Balanced, integrity, faithfulness to the message, trusting God to do the work, but finding creative ways to do that. City Kids gives us in Europe that opportunity to do just that. This was a promotional video that the National Director in France is working with and sharing to pastors around France. So you can see some of the ideas there that he was using. I can show you hopefully some pictures. Yep, here they are. So here down in the bottom, you can see the Lego city that the children built over the course of the week. You need a lot of Lego. Kilos and kilos and kilos of Lego. But once you have it, you always have it. So this was the city that they built through the week, and obviously they had their gospel Bible lessons and their memory work and all the rest as they built that at different points during their kind of their club. The top left picture is an interesting one. That's the church building. The church building normally on a Sunday, I think, has less than half of those people in it. And the pastor wept. Top left picture is the parents' night. And on the last night, they come and they open the city. And that's what you see, the parents and their children down here in the bottom right. And then they have a special family service on the last night. And again, you have the opportunity then to teach the parents as well. This is in Paris, a Roman Catholic country. It's possible. Arise and go to the great city. That just happened back in April and they've got some more events in three other cities coming up over the summer months as well. So praise God for what he's already doing. Just a practical outworking, at least you can see from a couple of pictures about what the Lego actually looks like when the city's all built. It comes with plans, and so that the children aren't just randomly building things, so they can actually follow the plans and build these different things. So it's very well organized. Let me just share one last video with you before we go. Would you pray for all the translation of the materials? It's still, we're waiting on some countries just to get finished with that. It's a big job. Pray for many children to be reached with the gospel across our European cities. There's a big need in our European cities for children to be reached with the gospel. Pray that there'll be revival. Pray that God will turn children's hearts back to himself, yeah?
I come from Africa, Nigeria precisely. Most of us are about 50 years old here, come from rural areas, maybe 80% of us at that time. But now, because of high level of urbanization, many kids are now in cities.
Yeah.
But the majority are still in rural areas. As much as city kids are challenged in Europe and other parts of the world, in Africa, but rural kids are what bigger challenges because they are not reached.
So my advice, my challenge for countries where the children are in the rural areas, you develop a new ministry called Rural Kids. Yeah. Wherever the children are, we gotta go. Good point. Yep. We're just wrapping up now, yep. I know I've got the time here, but these people are passionate, they're excited. Pray for a burden. Pray that God will give you a burden. Pray that God will give you a burden for what can be done in your city as we think about what God is doing across Europe. And finally, do something new. Ask God to show you what you can do, maybe slightly differently, to help children in your cities to hear the gospel. Arise and go to the great city. I want to thank you. I wish we had another hour to take all the questions. If you see me around over the next couple of days that we have, please ask me if you want to have lunch with me, breakfast. If you want to know more, please, that's my joy to talk to you a little bit more about that.